New Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Colossians. It's chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it seems really fitting on Mothering Sunday that our speaker this morning should be someone who's not only a mum and a grandmother, but somebody who is an incredible mother figure in the lives of so many in our parish. And so, Helen, it's great to have you with us this morning.
Morning, everybody. How lovely to be with you.
And I'm really looking forward to seeing what you've got to share on Colossians. So I'm going to duck out into the green room and leave us all in your hands, Helen.
Thank you. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words from St. Paul and showing us the reality of who you are, Lord Jesus. And may we continue to grow in your likeness. Amen. Okay, so Mothering Sunday, and we always say this, it's a strange mixture, isn't it, of celebration and sorrow. Many of us, of course, are celebrating the lives of our mothers, alive or dead, and also positive mother figures that Andrew was talking about. And they may be grandmothers, other family members, they may be people in our community, people in church who have kind of made an influence on us in all sorts of ways. And we celebrate for that. And we also celebrate, some of us, the fact that we are mothers, and also that we are mother figures. But of course, there's the sorrow too. And this is terrible for some women who haven't been able to have the children that they've wanted. And this is a lifelong sorrow for many, and has to be acknowledged on this day. Or we may have had an experience that really wasn't helpful of being mothered in our young lives. We might also have a gap where we might have been. And of course, we just have to look at the world, and we know that many mothers and families are mourning and feeling the loss after war, after earthquake, after famine, and so on. So where could we go today? Well, we could go to the maternal side of God. Now, this is interesting because, of course, over the 2,000 years of Christianity, God has been Father, God has been King, Jesus is King, and so on. Very paternalistic or patriarchal words. And many, especially women, perhaps, have been looking in the Bible to see all what is written to show us the maternal side of God. And we can easily look in places. I have to say, do you remember, some of you may have been reading about the General Synod, which was a few weeks ago, and there was a little bit of a discussion on the difficulty of language about God. And while a few people were saying, oh, we call God, instead of our Father, Mother. And President Putin apparently picked this up. And in a report, he wrote, the Church of England, of course, is trying to change God's gender. Oh, well. Anyway, plenty of internal images of God. In the Psalms, for instance, God is often, the psalmist often describes God as a sort of a mother bird with the people sheltering in the shadow of the wings. And of course, there's that lovely passage where Jesus comes into Jerusalem. And he says, I've longed to gather you up like a mother hen gathering up her chicks under her wings. And then we've got Isaiah, of course. Isaiah says, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. And then Isaiah again, can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. These images are wonderful, sort of protecting, nurturing, sheltering images of God for his people. But of course, the truth is, and this is true, President Putin, that God is beyond gender. Actually, we may use these images like God is my rock, God is a tower, and so on, and all these maternal images to help us to understand a bit about God. But they aren't, we mustn't confuse these metaphors with the reality of God. And we have a fine dose of God's reality in Paul's letter to the Colossians, which we heard read today. Paul is writing to the Colossian church and telling them that once they've accepted Christ into their lives as their Lord, they must put on his characteristics, becoming more like him. And that's our task, isn't it? Our Christian task is to become more like Jesus as we grow in faith. And as we look at these qualities, it'll be good to imagine what we'd need to do, how it would need to act out if we wanted to see these qualities in our individual lives, in our families, in our communities, in our church. So we need to put on compassion. Now, it's often written in the Gospels, Jesus has compassion on his people. They're lost and they're wandering. They're the people who need healing and he longs to heal them. He has compassion on them. But this is always a compassion with action for him. He doesn't say, oh, I'm so sorry for you and walk away. He has compassion. He does something about it. Now, we can't have compassion and heal the whole world. Of course we can't. But each one of us could have a big issues seller that we particularly support or, of course, a charity or whatever. We have our own good deeds that we do. Or we might have an elderly person who we know is lonely and we kind of look out for action. And then kindness. Now, kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. These are written in Paul's letter to the Galatians. They are to do with us being filled with the Spirit. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we develop these fruits in our lives. And they're a wonderful lot of fruits, which we all wish we had. And kindness is one of them. And how many times do we say, oh, be kind, maybe to our young ones, when we're trying to teach them the way to be kind. And then humility. Now, humility is one of the most difficult of the virtues, of the qualities of Jesus. Jesus was totally humbled as he was stripped naked and hung on the cross. There was no pride in him at all. Pride is the antithesis of humility. But when we search for humility in our lives, we can be a bit proud when we say, oh, I'm very humble today. The two are very, very difficult to hold. So work hard at your humility, but try not to be proud of it. Mm. Then meekness. Now, we've all heard the phrase gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And it always sounds as if in that case, Jesus must be weak. Meek seems weak. But actually, Jesus was never weak. He was profoundly strong. and powerful, full of power, but it was all under control. And meekness is that. It's power that's under control, very different from weakness. And then patience. Patience is another of the fruits of the Spirit. And in the Bible, patience is often allied with waiting. Wait patiently for the Lord. And in our Christian lives, it's really important we take this on, because we're not given everything that we ask for in prayer straight away. We often have to wait for our gifts that we're given. God wants to pour his gifts on us, but we often have to wait for that right moment when we will be given what we need. We need to wait patiently. And patience is not a good thing these days, is it? Oh, I want my Amazon delivery tomorrow or even today. You know, we kind of want everything now, now, now. It's part of our society, isn't it? Part of our culture. But Christians are begged to wait patiently, or be patient. And then forgiving. Now, the initiative of forgiveness all comes from God, because Jesus said on the cross, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He was always speaking about forgiving. And we need to forgive too, of course, in response to that. Now, forgiveness is easy, perhaps, if you unfortunately bump into somebody on a bus and you say, "Oh, forgive me, sorry." And that's fine. But it's hard. You know, you murdered my mother. How can that forgiveness be made alive in our lives? Yet we have to try. It's really, really important. And when Peter, the disciple, asked Jesus, "How many times do we forgive?" Jesus said, 70 times 7, which in biblical language is an infinite number. Always forgive, hard though it is. And love. Well, this is the supreme Christian grace, written about in Paul's letter, first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13. Love underpins everything, because love is God. God is love. And this is the royal law as well. Love God, love your neighbour as yourself. All will be well if we love. And the kind of love that God has for us is called agape love. It's not just a simple love for another in your family, or sexual love, of course, or anything like that. It's the love which puts the other first. It's the deep love of God. And we need to clothe ourselves with that love. And we need to develop that love in our lives so that it gets fatter and fatter and fatter in our lives. And then peace. You know, later those in church will be giving the peace to one another. Now, it's not that kind of peace, you know, peace, peace, peace. It's not that we do to each other, we give to each other. It's the peace of reconciliation. It means that we are reconciled with God, and we want to reconcile ourselves with all the other people in the room, everybody really, because where reconciliation is, there God's peace will reign. And the last, gratitude. We clothe everything with thanks to God for his bounty. Now, Pete Gregg, many of you have read his wonderful book on prayer, and he cites the, "I'm even grateful when I found a parking space." Now, that sounds strange. How did God have anything to do with that, finding a parking space? But actually, Pete says, we need to give thanks for everything. And once we get into that habit of saying, "Thank you, Lord, thank you, thank you," we realise that God is at the bottom of everything. And that is a great attitude for our Christian lives. Well, these are some of the characteristics of Jesus, his qualities, his graces, shown, of course, in his conduct. And just imagine if our individual lives, our family lives, our community lives, our church fellowship lives were full of these qualities, glowed with these qualities. What joy there would be. Absolutely amazing. We would be full of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiving, love, peace, and gratitude. And so, on this Mothering Sunday, let's pray. Please, Father God, may we be transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. May these qualities, which are not to do with gender, develop in us. They're to do with the graces that abound in you, Lord Jesus. Amen.